The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And a very warm welcome to you all as well. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill. Hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers. This is the Monday edition, and I'm delighted to be joined by William Hill Racing Radio pundit and also owner as well. That is Tom Morley. Tom, a very good afternoon to you. How are you? Keeping well?
Yeah, not bad. Thank you, Bobby.
But quite a few runners I've seen over the past few days.
Yeah, I don't get many days of rest these days, but we'll have a cull soon. That'll give me some days off.
Right then, let's have a look back at what we saw on Saturday afternoon. We'll just concentrate on the derby only at Epsom. So we will look first at the derby, just to confirm the result for you. Anthony Van Dyke was the winner at 13-2. Mad Moon second at 10-1, and Japan was back in third at 20-1. What we need to mention is that great for Lingfield, because Anthony Van Dyke won their derby trial, and Annapurna 24 hours earlier won the Oaks and won their Oaks trial as well.
Yeah. And people have often said there's some similarities between the tracks anyway. You know, you have to go downhill, round a bend. But certainly Lingfield, I'm sure, will be maximising the press attention that both horses had won the trials there. And, yeah, Anthony Van Dyke. I wasn't that surprised, actually, to be honest.
Okay.
I did mention it on the radio the day before that I was sticking with him, having put him up on one of the Monday juries I'd done the previous couple of weeks. But clearly Aidan O'Brien, well, very nearly had a clean sweep of all the first seven positions. But Mad Moon got there in second, and, well, Norway actually went back to eighth, didn't it? But was probably a bit unlucky to be eighth. I mean, Anthony Van Dyke, as you say, he won the Lingfield trial. He had had a setback before that anyway, so they always felt that he had come on for it. And, you know, once he got some space, went down to the rail, he did stay on really strongly. Mad Moon, interesting horse. Good to see it bounce back and run a really good race. I don't think it particularly ran out of stamina. It was staying on again at the line. But, no, a really good run from that horse. I do like Mad Moon, to be fair. And then the three O'Brien horses behind that, Japan, Broom and Sir Dragonet, I'm sure will all go and make their presence felt in various races in the future. Japan rider lost his whip, didn't he? But I don't think that made any difference, to be honest. I suppose might have crept into second, given the very narrow gap between second and third. Broom, I don't know, Broom's quite... I think Broom may end up being a bit better than maybe one or two of the ones who finished in front of him. I think it's still work in progress there. Sir Dragonet looked like it was going to come to win, but just... I mean, it was a very exciting race, let's face it. There were, what, five horses all within a length?
Yeah.
So, further back, I mean, obviously there were a couple of disappointments, weren't there, for supporters of Telecaster. Unfortunately, the money they put in to add him to the field went down the pan, and just, he just wasn't going to be going, was he? After he looked buzzed up, he was full of thing, and I don't think he particularly handled anything to do with it.
I was just going to say to you there, Tom, I don't know if I said this to you or on to somebody else in a previous podcast, but I said if Telecaster wins the Dante, because I really fancied him for the Dante, I said that would be his derby. If you owned Telecaster, after winning the Dante, would you have gone for the derby, or would you have looked elsewhere? Maybe the French derby over a mile and a quarter?
I think it's a very, very tricky one to say. I mean, I personally didn't like Telecaster at all for the derby, but that doesn't mean that if I own Telecaster, I wouldn't have run him. You'd have to be sitting there, wouldn't you? The temptation is so huge.
Yeah.
I think it would be hard not to.
Yeah, you've got to be in it to win it, haven't you?
Yeah, I think you'd require a lot of people whose judgment, or one person whose judgment you really trusted, be there saying, no, it's a really bad idea a lot of times before, you know, it's just natural human nature,
yeah,
I would have thought, to do it. So I don't think you can blame anyone. But clearly it didn't work for the horse. But, yeah, nothing ventured, nothing gained. And Bangkok, I mean, a similar thing regarding the race. I mean, it was a total wipeout of a race for him. He was never settled, never handled anything there. I'm sure there'll be another day for Bangkok as well.
And I think that day may be in the eclipse in July at Sandown.
Okay.
That's where I would go with Bangkok now. And I think if he turned up in that race, depending on the opposition as well, I think he'd have a great chance of winning that.
Well, definitely depend on the opposition. A couple of Pegasus and they might not. But it'll be interesting to see going forward, as I say, especially the O'Brien horses. No doubt they'll meet each other again a few times and a few will go a variety of different ways. But, you know, it was an exciting race. Sometimes you think, oh, you want a horse to go and win by five lengths to prove its superstar status. Well, you didn't get that this time.
No.
But there's plenty to work with going forward, and I'm sure there'll be some interesting storylines over the rest of the year.
If we just have a quick word on the dash as well, over the Flying Five. Ornate was the winner at 33-1 for David Griffiths, his first winner in the dash. Also for the trainer, also for the jockey as well, I beg your pardon, Phil Dennis. But one of your horses, you had two in the race, Blue De Vega, was third for you.
Yeah, I feel he met some trouble just a furlong out. One of the horses, I think it might have been Just Glamorous, just was rolling back into him, which probably was the difference between getting up and not getting up. But whilst I can sit here and go, he was unlucky, he didn't win, I know there'll be a number of people in that race who may well have finished further back than us, but who got no run as well. So I'm not going to sit here and drown my sorrows too much. Even if I did think it was a bit frustrating. I mean, Ornate, you know, Robert used to train Ornate before David Griffiths bought him October before last for a fair amount of money, to be fair, they paid for him. But, you know, he always was a really good horse, pretty much a black type horse. Clearly lost his way last year, but has come back this season. And, you know, and certainly whilst Robert had him and before Robert had him, he was a very, very quick horse.
Yeah. It's,
you know, the dash is sort of tailor-made for him. You know, I always used to think he was a bit of a short runner. Well, you know, it's a pretty quick five at Epsom. So, you know, it is probably tailor-made for him. Also, you know, the ground was really quick. I mean, that was one. I wish there'd been a little bit of cut for Blue De Vega because he would have wanted them to be stopping in front, which, you know, it was probably too quick for him. But no, all credit to David Griffiths. He probably fancied Duke of Firenze a bit more, but sitting behind Daskus on the rail, my other runner was not the best place to be for that one, so got no run. Darkshot has done well at Epsom. He's a sort of an Epsom type horse as well. And to be fair to Blue De Vega, he came fourth last year in it as well for Qatar Racing. So, you know, he's shown a bit of form. And Abai Gum came fourth, who had shown that he was coming to hand in a couple. He was a bit unlucky at York last time, but ran a good race the time before. So, yeah, typical dash, to be honest. And as I said to you earlier, you know, Caspian Prince sort of ruined it at the weights for a lot of horses. Meant the vast majority of the horses had 8 stone 5 or less. And it does make it a bit tricky just trying to find jockeys and stuff, to be honest. So, but there we go. Never mind. Good day for David Griffiths.
I was going to say, just talking of David Griffiths as well, it's great for him and his whole team, because he's not got the biggest yard. Of course, he had his stable star with Tate Cover, who was retired last year, and he does very, very well with his sprinters. He once said to me, you know, like they call people like Robert Cowell the sprint king. Davies says, I'm not old enough to be the king. He says, so I'll take the sprint prince title, is what he said to me.
That's fair enough. And, you know, obviously different trainers suit different type of horses, and he seems to, you know, be very happy to train sprinters. And, you know, I don't know what the proportion of sprinters to non-sprinters are in his yard, but clearly it's a type of horse that he does like.
We're going to look ahead now to the action on Monday afternoon. This is part of the podcast when I ask Tom for his two selections, and I believe the first of your selections ahead of the action on Monday comes from Windsor.
It does. It's in the 6:30 race, the 6 furlong 0-75 classified. And, you know, being a classified race, the obvious advantage of being rated 75 in this case goes without saying, and my selection is one of those horses. Night Secret, the 3-year-old filly of William Haggas, who is effectively having her first run now with a mark after a novice and two maiden runs so far. Third on debut at Lingfield, that was an eye-catching start. Held up, she stayed on really strongly, getting the hang of things. Eighth at Newmarket, second start. I mean, that was no disgrace. I mean, the ratings, all those in front have marks that are pretty reasonable, and the winner's 100, for instance, now. Third and final start last season was at Doncaster. First time she tried the six. Now, it was soft that day, but I don't see any reason why she has to have it soft. Beaten four lengths, she was the only one who raced in the centre of the track to be in the first five. And the winner, Dazzling Dan, that's now rated 99 after winning at Newmarket last month. Unexposed, progressive, on the ceiling mark for the race.
Mm-hmm.
Night Secret, got much in its favour, I think. And of the others, Aquarius has got something to find on the ratings and gets cheek pieces because it's been struggling. Champion Brogy, that took a while to get a win under his belt and ended up doing it on very soft ground in France. Struggled since, a couple of runs this season, only average. Maud has been falling down the weight, struggling this season, but I guess it's much easier than recent races. Mr. Buttons, first run for New Yard, having been claimed for 8,000 when third at Southall. Only rated 71. Think it needs to find a bit more, though. Perhaps the gelding will help it. Sirius Slew, still a maiden. Ran well at Yarmouth in April and was popular back there in May, but a step back that time. Though I guess is one who is at least at the 75 ceiling, does need to bounce back. And Usain Bolt gets a visor, but just generally seems to be regressing, so it needs to address the decline there. So I think the unexposed Night Secret's got a great chance.
And your second selection, you're going for the 7:45 at Wolverhampton. 8:45, I beg your pardon. The 8:45, the final nightcap race on the card.
And it's a type of race I wouldn't say that I generally look at this type of race for such selections, but it's a 7 furlong novice race for fillies. And my selection is going to be the bottom horse, who appears to actually carry the second colours here. Drawn in one, Royal Welcome. Twice race filly, sent off a very short price at Redcar on debut. She was all the rage. Has to be down as disappointing to some extent. Could only finish sixth, but she just couldn't go the early pace. Never really in the race. Sent back to Redcar and up to this trip, she was much more professional on that time. Couldn't get past the winner, but she was 8 lengths clear of the third, possibly just ran into one, and the winner was already rated 76 and has now been put up to 82. You know, I'd like to think they'll be positive with Royal Welcome from the inside draw, try and seize the initiative. Now, on colours, it would appear that Powerful Star might be the first string. She's had the one run so far, third at Newmarket in a race where the fancied runners struggled. Winner well beaten the other day. So I'm hoping that her stablemate Royal Welcome can actually get control of the inside area over Powerful Star. And it may be that colours, they might have a thing just agreed with Weatherby's where it's actually just the lower card number gets the first cap. Mm-hmm. To be fair, that's what I do most of the time. It's already agreed, so you know, I guess if you ever see two horses in my race, the one with the orange cap is not necessarily the second string, really. Of the others, Turn and Twirl won at Lingfield on debut, but disappointing over in Maidan. Not sure she might beat much at Lingfield anyway. Alma Linda drawn wide, not been seen since June. I mean, it was an encouraging start, but I'm going to watch it for now, given the absence. Ascended, official rating of 80, but it's a long time since we saw her, and drawn wide. Not sure how correct that 80 is with the absence and draw. I'm happy to watch that one as well. Gentlewoman gets a hood, promising on debut, but it was a rank run when well behind Powerful Star last time, so there's got to be some doubts about that. And Huria and Impressionable just seem to need plenty more. So hopefully Royal Welcome from the inside draw can go and make it a winning one for her.
Tom, pleasure to work with you as always here on the Daily Racing Podcast. Thank you for your time. Tune in to William Hill Racing Radio on Monday afternoon. They will be live from 1:40 p.m. and they'll be taking you through all of the action at Listowel, Brighton, Goran Park, Thirsk, Windsor and Wolverhampton.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.